Good job. Amen. I was watching young people singing, and I thought, I believe each one of them was there yesterday over at the school working and putting in most of them the whole day. And what a blessing. It's such a blessing to come up and sing and then not be afraid to go get dirty over cleaning the school. And appreciate these young people and appreciate them singing. Beautiful song, great song. Just think about that. I stand redeemed. What a blessing, isn't it? I mean, it's so good to know that we are redeemed. Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. We have been going through a bunch of O's for the month of July, for such a time as this, 2013, a time for service, the month of July, obligation for service, origin of service, options of service, objects for service, objective of service, outlook of service, omission of service, obstacles to service. And tonight I want to end it all with the organization of service, Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 13. Nehemiah 4 and verse 13. It was interesting this morning. I was talking about the mosquito drone and how we were being, you know, the possibility of the little drones like mosquitoes, and they're listening to what we're doing and they're taking samples of our body, you know, like a mosquito gets our blood. And well, while I was talking about all that, it was brought to my attention that there was a giant millipede over here that started crawling out of the black area right there and started crawling across the wall. And how many of you saw that? Okay, mainly these people. They weren't paying attention to the announcements. But anyway, this big something, they're not sure exactly what it was, but this big long thing, right while I'm talking about that, it's crawling across. And like it's maybe recording. It was recording everything. But amen, I want... You know, want them to hear the preaching, amen. But oh my, that was funny though. Just when that happened to be going on, and then I got out of the service, and I kept thinking, you know, I kept thinking, boy, this just seems longer than usual, and the message. And Sunday mornings, I never looked at a watch, never really paid attention, but I knew my clock. It was a little bit farther, and so I walked out in the hall, and I looked at the grandfather clock. And perfect, right on time. I thought, wow, this is amazing. And my wife said, honey, it's slow. And so anyway, I fixed the clock out there, but praise the Lord, it's good service today. Nehemiah 4, verse 13, the Bible says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, they that bear burdens with those that laded, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. And for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. I want to talk to you about the organization of service. And maybe you have your little paper. You can sort of follow. It's not really the message, but it does kind of give an idea of the outline. From Nehemiah, verse 17, it talks about building, they which builded. Then it talks about bearing, they that bear burdens with those that laded, and lading is to bear burdens. And then it says, and with the other hand held a weapon, battling. And really, right there is what goes on at Berean Baptist Church. It is what we are all about, we should be all about. And all of that has to be organized, just like it was with Nehemiah. If Nehemiah is going to get this job done, And if they are going to have anything left, you know, you could build the walls and let the enemy have it. So you can't do that. I mean, there are just so many implications that could take place if you're not doing everything, all the things at the same time, building, bearing, and battling, then you're not following the plan that I believe God has given us as far as the organization of service. We have a lot of people say, well, I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I want to do something, and somebody has to organize that. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight and ask you to just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Father, I pray you'll help us tonight with your word and use it in our lives and our hearts and help us get the work done. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We mentioned the SOS, the Service Opportunities Survey that is down at the Welcome Center. And it, SOS, as you know, is a distress call, and it's a call for help. We had a great day yesterday, a work day, and praise the Lord. I don't know the final total, but I know it was well over 50 people helping out, and not just adults, not just teenagers, some young people helped out, and everybody was working, and that was a blessing. It really was. But again, that's one day. You know, it's one project. We have stuff going on all the time, all year long, and it takes a huge workforce to get it all done. I thought about how that was yesterday, and we had a huge work day. Well, today was a huge work day. You know, it's a huge work. Every Sunday, it's a huge work day. By the time you have nursery workers, you have bus drivers, you have bus captains, you have people that visited the bus routes, you have Sunday school teachers, Sunday school helpers, you have junior church workers and junior church preachers, you have all the ushers, you have all the musicians, you have the deacons and the ushers, the Lord's Supper, you have, you know, just on and on. I mean, today is also a huge work day. But you know, ever since I got saved, I've been amazed at the church. It just always amazes me how the work gets done by God's people. It just is amazing to me. And the work amazes me, all that takes place. But this last point for ending the time for service, I think is really crucial, because it's the organization of it all. God doesn't want anything to be haphazard. You know, God is not the author of confusion. God wants things to be organized. And so I thought of Nehemiah 4 as being a great, great picture of organizing the work. And let me just say that on this list, whether you're building or bearing or battling or whatever you're doing, or if you're doing all those things, nothing is more important than anything else. You know, in God's work, it's all important. In God's work, somebody was changing blinds or washing blinds. That is every bit as important as what a bus captain did today. Somebody yesterday that was cleaning out, oh my, we saw some cleaning out. I mean, some real cleaning out. We saw cleaning out that we don't even know about, all the cleaning out that took place. Like out in the carriage house, some of the things that got carried out of the house. But anyway, you know, cleaning out the utility room by the men's restroom. You know, that job, whoever did that, that is just as important as what I'm doing right now. Everything is important. In a little while, we'll have men, and they'll pass bread around. That is every bit as important as the purple people getting up here and singing. Everything in God's work is crucial. Did you understand? A little cup dedicated to God was precious to God. And a little time, a little effort dedicated to God is very, very precious to God. Building, bearing, and battling, all three were crucial for Nehemiah. All three are crucial for us. Now, the order on this is a little different than I'm going to talk about tonight. But again, I just want you to follow along. Number one, we see preparation. Preparation. That is the bearing part of Nehemiah. You'll notice verse 10, it says, Judah said, and we've looked at this several times in the month of July, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now understand, if you don't build the wall, then you're not building. And if you don't build the wall, then you're going to lose the battle. So something's got to happen with the rubbish. I mean, somehow that all has to be taken down. It has to be carried away. It has to be removed. In other words, there is some preparation that has to take place. I call that bearing. This is first, because without it, there's no start. There's nowhere to build. Bearing makes it possible to build. Okay, it's very, very important. Now, again, you look at the list, and much of a church service, much of what goes on here, really, is bearing. A lot of what happens in our church. It was interesting. I started writing these things down, trying to organize them and everything, and I was amazed at how much of this was bearing. And why? Well, because preparation is essential to build. Preparation is essential. Once you build, you've got to be ready to fight a battle. But if you have nothing built, there's nothing to battle for. And so the bearing, the preparation, it was absolutely essential. And you had to remove obstacles. By the way, that's what the nursery is. It's a removal of obstacles. Nursery is provided to help a mom to be able to listen to the message. It is a removal of obstacles. Cleaning is a removal of obstacles. Do you understand? Maintenance, it is making it as easy as possible for people to get in and come and listen to the Word of God. Bearing is essential. It is the preparation in the ministry. Removing obstacles, preparing people's hearts. That's what music does. That's what the singing does. That's what the specials do. They prepare our hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. And it is absolutely essential that we have a music area in the church whereby we can be in the preparation. That's what our music should do. It should not prepare us for a rock concert. It should prepare us for the Word of God. It should prepare us for God to speak to our hearts. And that is an important part of the bearing part of the ministry. Maintenance. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 1, a huge, huge part of the church. Galatians 6. And again, we have looked at Galatians 6 a couple of times in the month of July. Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's part of bearing. It is maintaining, it's maintenance. Again, you can get the wall built, but you're not done bearing, because another part of bearing, removing obstacle, you've got to keep that wall maintained. And a huge part of the church is maintaining our people, each other. You know, if someone's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, by the way, ye which are spiritual, restore them, work on them, help them. Our problem is carnal, try to help carnal, and that ain't going to help anybody. But somebody spiritual, you say, bless God, all I'm about is battling and going out and winning souls. But you can go out and win all kinds of souls and let folks fall apart right here. And again, we've only done part. We've got to have the bearing part, that part called maintenance. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Doing what? Bearing one another's burdens. That's taking care of somebody, a big burden. It's interesting, the word for burden there is different in verse 2 than it is in verse 5. You know, it is different. We need to help each other out. Big burdens, things that are just too hard. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to pray for that person. It's another thing to go up to the person and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Is there anything else I can do? So easy to pray. But how about, is there anything else I can do? I know you're going through a tough time. Amen. You know, it's maintenance. It's maintenance. Again, what good are the walls if we let them fall down? They're not. It's crucial. Bearing, preparing. You gotta prepare things. And you know what? If you got a whole bunch of people who are off base and messed up, and everything else, you're going to have a hard time when you bring in lost people getting the message to them. You're going to have a tough time. It's this bearing. It is preparation. It is crucial. If a man think to be himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. That's talking about our little burdens. We grow, and that's under building. But we grow enough to handle our small burdens. But I don't know if there's anybody that can just bear everything. And especially those big burdens, we need each other. God said so. He said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When? Well, so much the more as we see the day approach. As it gets worse and worse and worse, we're supposed to help each other. Bearing. Bearing. Do you understand? If there were just a couple guys in the tribe of Judah trying to clear off all the rubbish, they weren't going to get it done. But they all worked. Together. Taking care of that. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And as people do, as they do, then the church is here under the bearing part of our ministry to try to help them. Well, they deserve what they... Okay. By the way, who says? People. It's amazing how we, boy, that serves them right. No, listen to me. We cannot be like that. We've got to be there. Hey, how can I help you? What can I do? Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I look at the bearing part of the ministry, and I realize how crucial, how essential that it is. The preparation part, the maintenance part. Judah was discouraged. And how can we get rid of their discouragement? I mean, here they are. They said, we are not able to build the wall. We just can't do it. Well, I'll help you. Look, no wall is built until all the rubbish is cleared out. There won't be a wall. Therefore, there will not be any building. Therefore, there will not be any battling. And it's all done. Bearing. It is absolutely essential. The thing about bearing, Judah is discouraged because bearing might be, and I looked at it, it might very well be the hardest thing on here to do. Honestly, it might be. You say, why is that? I mean, come on, you've got on there. You've got usher, you've got make phone calls, you've got shut-in visitation. I mean, prayer chain, meals after surgery, hospital visitation, sending cards. I mean, preacher, that's not hard. No, what I mean is this: typically, in the bearing part of the ministry, you don't see things happening. You work in the nursery, okay? Let's take an average hour in the nursery, all right? You spent 1 hour in the nursery, and you had three dirty diapers. You got spit up on. You got bit. What'd you see as a result of church? Well, spit up on your dress. You know, that's what you're still seeing. And every time you look down, you smell. Yeah. But a mom got saved, or a mom got right with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? A mom was able to sit in church and was able to listen to the preaching of the word, and she's going through a hard time. And literally her life was changed during a church service. You don't necessarily know that. It's kind of like the tribe of Judah. You know, here they are cleaning up. They're not seeing walls built. They're carrying grimy, old, nasty, burnt-up walls. They're clearing the rubble from the old walls that got destroyed. I mean, here they are, day after day. They're looking at destruction because of sin, and they're dealing with that. And that's why the bearing part of the ministry, you don't get to see a whole lot of results, but you are the key to the results happening. Amen. It's amazing. Choir. You sing in the choir, and you spent all kinds of time practicing the different choir practices, and you sang your song, and typically, sometimes people will clap, but typically we don't do what we do to get applause. Sometimes people do. It's not a bad thing or anything. It's just you're not doing it for that, and yet you kind of think, well, that's over. Just spent several weeks of my life practicing that song, and we just sang, and that's over. Oh, we just sang our special and spent all this time practicing, and now it's over. And you say, what just happened? Well, you don't know what happened because you're bearers. And people that are bearing, they don't always see things. It's not like watching a wall grow. It's not like watching a battle where you're, yes, we win the battle. It's you're bearing, and so you're clearing off rubble and preparing, and you don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. You don't know what you just did. You don't get to see it. And it's interesting. Just something to think about. You spent hours cleaning a restroom. Hours. Maybe you cleaned the ladies' restroom right here, or maybe downstairs, one of the restrooms, and you spent hours cleaning the restroom. I mean, you scrubbed, you got a toothbrush, and you got down on the floor, and you scrubbed between the tiles. I mean, you worked hard. Okay, restroom's clean, sparkly, and yet, it's not like watching walls go up. It's not like watching somebody that you just taught them a lesson in Sunday school class, and they went forward and dedicated their life to God. You don't get to see that. In fact, Lord willing, you're not watching people go in the restroom. You're not standing there. And I wonder if they're happy. But you would be amazed how many people decide on a church based on the cleanliness of the restroom. It is amazing. Statistics will tell you it is not the pastor's message. It is not the pastor's tie. It is not the songs. It is not the song leader. Sorry, Don. It's the restroom. And you never know who went in the restroom first thing, looked around, and said, okay, I'll stay here. I'll come here. Bearing, absolutely essential. It's not flashy. When I think of the bearing part, it's just not flashy. Provide rides, visitors' visitation, RU refreshments, senior saints' meal. It's not flashy, but literally, it is the foundation of Berean Baptist Church. We have to have the bear. Please sign up. Sign up for the bearing part of the ministry, because you will have a part in decisions that you may not know until we get to heaven. You may not know. Number two. Number one is preparation, and that is the bearing part of the ministry. Number two is persuasion, and that is the building part of the ministry. In verse 17, the Bible says, they which builded on the wall. They built the wall, and they're building. Now, when was this? It's when all the rubbish is out of the way. Everything's been prepared. Now we can build. Chairs are all set up. Chairs are all clean. The carpet is all clean. Everything is all nice. The chalkboard is all cleaned off and ready to go. And everything is set. The flannel graph is all out. And now, Now I can start building. Isn't that great? It's amazing, isn't it? Because the average person doesn't think about it. It is what I call persuasion, because now it's time to persuade. Now we're going to teach. Now we're going to build some people. Because the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded. That is exactly what Sunday school is all about. That is exactly what junior church is all about. And that is what preaching times are all about. It is persuading, building people. 2 Corinthians 5, real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Second Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch this. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. This is for Christians. Judgment seat of Christ is not the great white throne judgment, which is for lost people. This is for Christians. And now it says, verse 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. It says, we persuade men. What's that? We're teaching them. We're building their lives. You see, bearing, we're going to eliminate any hindrance. We're going to eliminate noise. We're going to eliminate distraction. We're going to eliminate the distraction of maybe a life that is just needing somebody to help them lift some of their problems and take care of their problems. We're going to eliminate that. We're going to do all we can. And now that person can be persuaded. Now we can persuade them. Well, we have the truth, right? Do we still believe it's the truth? Okay, then we have something to persuade with, and so we take the truth now, and we build. We build. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Amen? I mean, it is time to build. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to build now. We have the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can build. And we've eliminated obstacles. We've played the right music. We've sung the right songs. We've everything is built up to. It's done it in junior church. It's done it in Sunday school. Everything is now leading up to. We put a donut in their mouth and coffee down their throat. Well, it depends on the class you're in. And now everything is all set. Why? Because I've got something to tell them, to persuade them, to get them to grow. What's that? It's building. It's building. Matthew 28:19. We use it all the time talking about soul winning, and we should. But Matthew 28 and verse 19, we've given them the gospel. They've gotten saved. And the Bible says, go ye therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What is that? That is teaching them to observe the Word of God. Teaching them to do the Word of God. Observe the things that Jesus said. The things He commanded us to do. What is that? That is discipleship. It's building. It's building. Got to have bearing. Got to have it. Got to have it so that we can build. Got to have everything in place so that Sunday school teacher can teach their class. I need to have a clean building. Need to have the building not to fall in. We need to have all these things have to be in place. We have to have the right music. We have to have somebody watching the children. We have to have a phone call made that helps kind of get things ready for them. We have to have somebody follow up on a visit when they come. And all of that is so that we can have the privilege, the honor, but the command from God to go and not only win them, but teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Right. And that is part of our ministry. And without bearing, we don't have building. If we don't have the building taken care of, the chairs set up, everything all done, we have a hard time having the shepherd's meeting over in the gym. If we don't have everything ready and everything in place, if things aren't the way they need to be, if the air conditioning's not on or the heat's not on, whatever is needed at the time, all of those things are crucial. If we're scurrying around trying to find somebody to play an instrument or something, hey, you know, we got to have some entertainment. No. Listen to me. We need to be prepared because bearing is important and a song is important and everything is important. Why? Because it's God's. Amen. And so now we persuade him. As God said, we persuade men. John 15:16, again, we find building, we find battling, but as we think, you know, most of the time we look at I think the most important ministry is the battling, you know, soul winning, going out and attacking the gates of hell. But I'm telling you, nothing is more important than anything else. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And we know that's souls. But watch this, and that your fruit should remain. How are they going to remain? We got to build. Got to build them. Got to disciple them, got to teach them. You know, we have a persuasion team in the building category, in Sunday school, children's church, master clubs, teen meeting, Reformers Unanimous, Shepherd's Ministry, Berean Baptist Academy. That is all designed to build. To build. And it, you know, we went to Landmark Baptist Church in Flint, and when we got there, we found this battle between ministries. It's like, well, our ministry is more important than your ministry. And I finally had to preach a message and say, you folks, look, this is carnality. Everything's important. Amen. You are nobody. You know, some of the bus words, well, the bus ministry is most important. I said, listen to me. Okay, bus ministry, you're more important than maintenance. What are you going to do when your bus breaks? And by the way, I have a bent piston on my shelf of unique items to prove that buses do break. I mean, can you imagine the piston? It twisted. Hard steel. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens when you don't put oil in a bus. But, you know, everything's essential. Everything's crucial. And so the persuasion team is building lives. Now, again, I think they have it a little better as far as the today part. You know, they get to see things today. They get to watch a little child's eyes light up when they finally get it. Isn't that a blessing when they get it? You know, you guys are clowning around and you're doing a skit and you think, nobody's going to get it. And all of a sudden, some little, it's like, he gets it. And you're so excited, you know. And you get to see that. You get to see people making decisions and you get to see them growing in the Lord and all that. And that's exciting. But understand, it also has a little bit of its pitfall too, because you also get hurt. You're going to get hurt. When you're in the building category there, there's going to be some hurt. When you're a builder, there's going to be some hurt. But it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. The persuasion team, building lives. And without the bearing, we couldn't build. And the bearing is going to make it possible also to build the wall. And that, obviously, in Nehemiah, was for the battle. And I call that preservation. That's battling. Battling is all about preservation. You might not see it that way. You may think maintenance is about preservation. No. Battling is about preservation. In Matthew 16, verse 15, look at it. Matthew 16 and verse 15, again, a verse that we talk about all the time as far as going soul winning and all of that, and we should. But that is what the battling is all about. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's us. That's what we've got to do. That is what a church does. Now, I will say that many churches today have left the preservation part out, and that's why they die. It has nothing to do with attendance. It has everything to do with inside out, they die. Because there's no preservation. There's no battling. There's no going. The Bible says that if we'll go and we'll attack, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Talking about it in Revelation. And my goal as I attack the gates of hell is not to go after the devil. I don't want to see him. I don't want to be around him. Our goal as we attack the gates of hell is to rescue the perishing who are on their way to hell. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we attack. And you look at the battling team here, and you see soul winning, you see a bus ministry, and again, many of our ministries do this otherwise, but the bus ministry, the prison ministry, literally going out there trying to win souls to Jesus Christ, and like I said, other ministry, we do that in our church service and all of that, but just again, bus ministry and prison ministry and the fair ministry and all of this, but I want you to notice something that's tucked away in 1 Chronicles 26 and verse 27, and it was very, very true in the Old Testament time. 1 Chronicles 26 and verse 27. And I like this verse. I think I preached on it once. It says this, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. What's our preservation? What's going to keep us going? And again, I'm not talking numbers. I'm talking about heartbeat. I'm talking about life. Numbers mean nothing when the Catholics are big and the Muslims are big. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about breathing. I'm talking about health. Because we're doing right. Well, here's what it is right here. It's the spoils won in battle that keeps us going. That's what keeps us going. You know? It's going out there and bringing in the fruit and bringing in the sheaves. You know, it preserves us. Now, it preserves us because there's new people and new people to build, but it also preserves us because He loves it. He loves it. These little social club churches, they cannot be pleasing to God if that's all they're doing is social clubbing. It cannot please God. I'll tell you what pleases God is 242 souls saved at the fair. I'll tell you what pleases God, souls saved on the bus ministry. I'll tell you what pleases God, souls saved in Sunday school class. I'll tell you what pleases God, souls saved in the church service. I'll tell you what pleases God, souls saved from soul winners going out and telling. I'll tell you what pleases God, souls saved in the prison. But let's put it where it really is. It is battling. You're going to attack the gates of hell? Where's the biggest battle? At the gates. Yeah, I remember way back the old Viking and knights in shining armor movies and stuff. And every time they attacked the castle, and always right above the gates, what was there right above the gates? Who remembers? Think black and white films, maybe. What did they always do? They had all the archers. What else did they have? They had rocks. What else did they have? Oil. Do you know how offensive that would be to have burning oil dropped on you? Wonder why they had it at the gates. Because the gates, that's how the enemy gets in. Do you think Satan's not going to defend his gates? Oh, it's battling. All right. But again, listen to me. Stay with me now. Without the bearing, there is no battling. Without the building, there's no one to battle. Because the only people that are going to battle are people that have been built. Hello. You got to be built. You got to put on the whole armor of God. Got to find out what it is. See how, well, we're more important. No, you're not. Nothing's more important. But those spoils won in battle, that's what keeps us going. It preserves us. No battling, no spoils, soon die. And by the way, lots of big churches are dead. I can tell you there's all kinds of life, all kinds of action, activity on a dead body. Go out and look at one that's been in the sun for a few days. There's all sorts of movement going on, but there's nothing happening. It's happening. It's very, very prominent today. But also battling, and part of the battle is defense. That's why they're building the wall. Defense. It's to keep the good guys in and the bad guys out, and therefore it is a wall of separation between the two. I will be very, very honest with you. That is probably the biggest battle we fight today, is that wall of separation. It really is. And that's not what the message is about, but it's a battle. It is a huge battle. And if you remember the message, somebody has to stay by the stuff and defend it. Those are some of my biggest battles, is staying by the stuff. Amen. It's a battle, though, and the defense of who we are and what we are, it is a huge, huge battle. But I will tell you this, under the battling category, as long as we're soul winning, and as long as we're soul winning in our bus ministry, and as long as we're soul winning in our prison ministry, and as long as we're winning souls, usually the stuff is pretty safe. It's usually pretty safe. But when we quit, then eventually we give away our stuff. Preservation, battling, absolutely essential. And again, you got to have them all. Preparation, bearing, persuasion, building, preservation, battling. I close with number four, and that's the proportion, that's the balance, putting it all together. It's so important. Somebody has to put it together. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, and I preached on this, like I said, 5 or 6 years ago, he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And so, as we've learned in the Old Testament time, often the communications were made by trumpet. And a certain sound would sound everybody to call together to worship. Certain sound would call to assemble. Certain sound would be to attack. Certain sound would be to retreat. A certain sound would be to come and eat or whatever. But there it is. That's our favorite. But he that sounded the trumpet was by Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, I'm in charge, and trumpeter, you are here. You will sound the trumpet. If the people on the west wall are under attack, then I'm going to tell you to sound the trumpet for folks who are not under attack to come and help them, and so on and so forth. And literally, that's how he organized everything. Well, here's the way I see it. The pastor sounds the trumpet, but he's got to be by the Lord to direct. And it is essential. Now, I know you want to play the trumpet. I understand that. But God didn't call you to play the trumpet. And so God called somebody to play the trumpet, and that person had better be with the Lord. Because the Lord, as Nehemiah said, hey, trumpeter, it's sir, I need to go get a Big Mac. No, you stay right here by me. When I go get a Big Mac, you can come along with me, but you stay by me. And it is absolutely essential that those two be together at all times, because Nehemiah was going to direct everything as our God has to direct everything, because otherwise we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. And verse 19 says, and I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. But when you hear the trumpet, listen for the trumpet. Listen to the trumpeter. And the trumpeter gave you a list and said, SOS, we need help. And verse 21, so we labored in the work. So we labored in the work. And half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. We labored in the work. I close with this challenge. I think of if we battle only. Okay, we get wacky. We don't listen to the trumpet. We get a mentality of, it's all about battling. First of all, what are you going to do about the wounded? Because when there's a battle, there's wounded. Who's going to help them? Well, we got to charge. So what are you going to do with your wounded? Are you all listening? Got to take care of the wounded, right? Well, we better start a new part of our army then. We better have the bearers. Yeah. Battle only. Hey, we got to charge. We got to fight. We got to battle. Yep, but who's going to teach all the other ones so they can get in the battle? Your battle's only going to last so long, because if you're not discipling, then you're going to, eventually the battle will not exist. You see how we need each other? Battle only, there'd be no building. There'd be no discipleship. There'd be no bearing, no preparing for building, no maintaining what or who we have. You can't battle only. What about building only? All we're going to do is build. I don't want to get involved in any battle because it's dangerous. And by the way, battles can be very dangerous. And these are the deep teaching kind of churches where everything's just deep teaching. But there's no soul winning, bus ministry, prison ministry. Those things, those are not important. Now you can't have that where it's just building only, because eventually the enemy takes over what was built. Got to have battling. Got to have battling. Or if there's no maintenance, it all falls apart. Got to have bearing. You cannot have building only, just like you can't have battling only. And by the way, you can't have bearing only. I call these your social group playtime kind of ministries. It's just all play. It's all social. It's all play. And while that's happening, the lost are going to hell. Now again, you can do that for a while, bearing only. You go through the motions of church. All is prepared for church, but nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. Why? Because battling's exciting. People getting saved is exciting. And it is. It is exciting. But well, we're having a church service and we're having our little group and we meet and we have our little social group but nothing is happening. And what happens? Well, eventually the enemy takes over or simply leaves alone because nothing's happening anyway. By the way, a lot of people like it to be left alone. And so tonight I come to you with an SOS, because we're the ones to do all that. I don't know how many times I've kind of gone over my list and looked at my list and even leaving some things out just because of human nature and forgetting. But I thought, God, how in the world can we do all this? How do we do all this? Well, there's only one way, and that is that we sign up, because we're the ones. We can't hire another army to come and do our work, hire another people to come and do our work. It's us, and we do it. Praise the Lord, we have some of the greatest. I tell pastors all the time, they say, I heard about your vacation Bible school. I heard about your missions conference. I heard about, they mentioned something. And they say, how in the world do you do that? And I say, there's only one way we do that. I say, great, godly people. There is no other way. It's not possible any other way. Please, pray about it. Look it over. Sign up. Put a little check by something. Put a little suggestion. Add other things, whatever. And let us pray over how we're going to build, bear, and battle till Jesus comes. Let's bow our heads, please.